Martin, stop setting dates. You're making people nervous. You're making people nervous. Stop it. Really? I'm making people nervous? What if Jesus Christ came to... Hi, everybody at Martin Center. What if Jesus Christ came down and told you there are 3 weeks left? Martin, I'd be a nervous wreck. Well, I suggest that possibly you have a trust problem, trusting God, if you would be a nervous wreck to think that Jesus was coming. Good morning. This is Martin Zunder, and it's a real trust issue. And this, I think, brings things to people, brings them an awareness of maybe a lack that they have. People are very comfortable, some people, thinking that the snatching away is far off. Because that gives them time to live their lives. It's a control issue, I say, at the base level, if you're afraid of this. And look, I'm sympathetic. I'm not necessarily empathetic. I can't empathize because I don't have control issues, really. But can't wait to let go. if you have a management issue, if you want to really manage your life and you really don't want that disturbed because it's unknown, that's the beauty of faith, my friends, is the unknown. And God is using this to exercise your faith. Others of you, I know you're ready to jump off the cliff today. You're ready to go and jump off the cliff and hope the snatching away happens before you hit the ground. Yeah, I know. There's that other group. But there's another group that they're having their faith tested. And they're really having to question themselves. How much do I really love Christ and His appearing? To love His appearing. Where to love His appearing. But again, I'm sympathetic because it's an unknown. And any unknown quantity can potentially bring fear. Now, to this other point, who's setting dates? Who is setting dates? I'm not setting dates. I'm suggesting month and a year to you. And when I go back to Daniel chapter 9, it's God Himself. God's the one setting dates. God's the one giving years to prepare Israel for His Son's first coming. This is the angel Gabriel speaking to Daniel, and you shall know and be intelligent from the faring forth of the word to cause a return to rebuild Jerusalem from then till Messiah the governor is 77 and 62 sevens. It will return and be rebuilt square and salient even in areas of constraint. Why do that? Why even do that? Why is it playing a number game? Why do it if He didn't want them to know? He just threw a mystery into the pot so that they would be confused. Then how was it that some knew that the time was near? Some in Israel knew that the time was near. It's because of Daniel's prophecy. That's why they counted the days. 133,000 whatever days. Whatever days I gave you yesterday. It's beautiful. See, God doesn't set dates. He marks days. I want to say that again. He's not a date. I'll say it a different way. He's not a date setter. He is a day counter. He's not a day date setter. God is not a date setter. Never sets a date. Never says this is going to happen on this date. We don't set dates, but He counts days. You see the difference? He marks the passage of time. This is going to happen in this amount of days. 173,880 days. 173,880 days was the number of days between the decree by Artaxerxes to rebuild Jerusalem to the coming of the governor, capital G, the Messiah. And all you had to do was count the days. Why did God do that unless He wanted them to know? Now, there are two dates of supreme importance to the sons of Israel, and they both both these times, give them the time when Messiah will come, both. The first coming and the second coming. The first coming in humiliation, they didn't necessarily know that, but the second coming in glory. In the past, these days God gave pointed Israel to the time of his appearing in humiliation so that some might recognize and receive him. God wanted some to recognize and receive him, and so he gave this to Daniel, sent Gabriel down. I'm not going to leave these people totally adrift. I'm going to give them the time. But you have to be interested in it to want it, because it's going to be a bit mysterious. It's going to be a bit secretive. It's going to be hidden in plain sight. And you have to calculate it. You have to want it. You have to put it together with other scriptures. And if you do want it, I have provided it. Because he wanted some in Israel. Well, why didn't he want all in Israel to recognize his first coming? If he had wanted all in Israel to recognize his first coming, then he would have, like, just put it on the surface. But he does this 69, 62, and 7 sevens in this language that sounds like a puzzle and a riddle. He does it on purpose. But listen, he wants some to know when he was going to be coming. And in the future, Israel's also given the time of his advent in glory, so that, this is why, the saints at that time would not be deceived by the false Christ. In Matthew 24, Jesus is laying out all these things that will happen before he comes. Why is he doing that unless he wants some to know? And now, we also have a similar time at the in the final years of Millennium 6, as we had at the first coming of Christ in humiliation, except it's a different system. Then it was the 69 sevens of years, actually the 70 sevens of years, to complete Israel, to remove irreverence from Jacob, to bring the time of the end, and all these things mentioned. Now it's days from Adam, years from Adam, F.A., and that's why he gives them these little clues. A thousand years is as a day. And he teaches Adam about the sun and the moon and what those heavenly bodies portend. The 77s God gave to Israel. I'm very excited about this again now because I'm realizing more and more that God wants people to know. And so I'm realizing then, more and more, these people that say, you just can't know, we're not supposed to know, you're in the dark, and you're not right. God does want us to know. Maybe not us in the body of Christ, because it really, technically, doesn't matter to us, because our snatching away can happen anytime. But we know that if Israel's close, we're closer. And so I think Paul is giving us a wink, wink, nudge, nudge in Romans 11:25. I've been teasing you with that verse a long time. I just want to give it to you right here, right now. I'm going to quit with this tease, and I'm going to elaborate on it in days to come. But this is the Rosetta Stone verse I've been telling you about that relates an event with Israel to the body of Christ. And if we can see that there's a certain event in Israel near in prophetic fulfillment coming in the days ahead, then we will know that our fulfillment is near as well. Romans 11:25, Paul says, "For I am not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret." God's not willing for us to be ignorant. This comes to his friends. This comes to the people who attend to him, who, like Mary, sit down and listen to his word. They're not busy making sandwiches like Martha. "Martha, Martha, why be so fussy? A simple supper will do." And yet Martha's going all over the place, all right? And so Mary is just attending to him, and we're attending to him. We're listening to him. We want him to know. And Paul says, "I'm not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, lest you be passing for prudent among yourselves, that callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering." This is a time verse because of the word "until." Callousness has come in part on Israel, allowing for a remnant in Israel to be aware of things until the complement of the nations may be entering. I take the complement of the nations to be entering. The complement is the filling, that which fills a lack. The rest of the nations being called into the body of Christ, that will end the body of Christ, and then Israel will be back on the front burner, and then the blindness comes off Israel. So if we can figure out, folks, when blindness comes off Israel, then we can figure out the snatching away has to come before that. I'll leave it right there. You know, the Rosetta Stone, I keep referencing that. That was the hieroglyphic or the... That was the stone that they found that had a key on it that allowed archaeologists and historians to translate some hieroglyphics. They didn't know what these hieroglyphics meant. And then one day they found this key that said, oh, if you see a picture of a cow with a bow and arrow, that means, you know, that's the symbol for ham sandwich. Ooh, now we can read hieroglyphics. Isn't that great? The 77s are divided into two sections, 67, 69 sevens and one. One leading to Messiah in humiliation, the other in glory. Going to spend a little time here because it is hitting me big time that this is God saying, yes, I want you to know the day. Want you to know the day, or at least a general time. Now I'm getting crazy, right? Want you to know the day. Well, he does. What's 173,880 days? I'll tell you what it is. By telling you what it isn't. It's not 173,881 days. It's not that. It's 173,880 days. That is 483 years. That is 69 sevens. That is the number of days from a king in Babylon, Artaxerxes, writing a decree. It was just this was a huge event in Israel prophecy. Writes down this decree, giving Nehemiah permission to go on and you take a crew with you. I'll give you passage and you have my permission to go rebuild Jerusalem. That started a clock. That started a clock. And those in the know in Israel who gave a crap to read the scriptures, gave a crap to know that God wanted people to know because God was their friend. And if you're a friend of God, then he takes you into his confidence and he tells you secrets. Paul, Romans 11:25, lo, I am not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren. How did Paul learn this secret? It was told him by Christ. Gee, Christ must have wanted Paul to know. God must have wanted Christ to know. Christ wanted Paul to know, and Paul wanted us to know. And now we're going to just walk around in ignorance? Well, nobody can know. It's not true. Gabriel to Daniel, and you shall know and be intelligent. Paul to the body of Christ, I am not willing for you to be ignorant. Ignorance is not a virtue. Ignorance seems to be bliss, but it's not. Perfectly willing to make a fool of myself here as I get more and more sure of this. Martin, if the kingdom doesn't come in 2028, I'm holding you responsible. Yeah. Oh, if the first coming doesn't happen after 483 years from the letter from Artaxerxes to Nehemiah to rebuild the temple, you can blame me for that too. Blame me for that one. Yeah, it's all my fault. Let me tell you this. Don't be a nervous wreck. Got to be careful how I say this next thing. I was going to tell you to let go, but, you know, that's dangerous. People take that the wrong way. Apparently, I keep having to reiterate this. I'm not telling anyone to put on a robe, head to the mountains, and stare at the moon and wait for the return of Christ. Now, I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you to live in a spirit of anticipation. Live life to the fullest. I want to be in the best shape possible. This sounds crazy, but I'll confess this to you. I'll close the show with this. Absolutely true. I thought about this. When I first realized that this was coming, there was part of me that said, take it easy. Retire. Just think, man. You can eat whatever you want. You don't have to worry about... You can smoke cigars like 10 a day if you want, because you don't have to worry about getting cancer, because you're not going to have time to get cancer. It's true, I can get fat in one day by eating a piece of cake, so that sucks. If I knew the snatching away was coming in 30 minutes, I might eat a piece of cake, but I think 15 minutes I would get fat. So I'm thinking, take your leisure. Take your leisure, Zender. Take it easy. Loosen up a little bit. Unwind. Unwind yourself. Then I thought, you know what? And here's the crazy thing. I said, I want to be in the best shape possible when Jesus Christ returns. So, like, I'm going to go extra to the gym. I'm going to work my body. I'm going to really build the top part of my deltoids. And I'm going to work on the bicep even more. And I'm thinking, that's crazy, because my body's going to be changed. When Jesus Christ comes, I'm going to totally turn in this body for a new one. So what use would it be, the practical side of myself asked myself, what use would it be to work on my body to get in great shape, and then here I am, ready to go. Instantly, this one crashes, and I get a new one, which is great. It's because half the fun's getting there. It's because we have a standard of living and a standard of excellence, and while we're here, this body houses the Holy Spirit of God. While we're here, up until the second we're not here, this body is given us by God. It's a marvel. It's a wonder. And why wouldn't you take care of it right up to the last? And if God's given us work to do, if He's given us passions, why wouldn't we indulge those? Because they're given to us as gifts by God. Why not say, I'm going to use this gift and utilize this gift until the second I turn it into God? It's like renting a library book. You go to the library, and the day's coming up to give the book back, and you're not done with it yet, so you just take it back. No, you hurry up and read it. You want to read it. You want to finish it. You want to get that thing done, and then you take it right back that day. Is that a good analogy? I don't know. It just came to me, but it's like we have these bodies on rent. We have our families on loan to us. We have our jobs on loan to us, our passions, our desires, our goals, and you want to complete that. You don't want to neglect it. And besides, I watched a video on YouTube. There's part one, part two, part three. It's called Don't Celebrate Too Soon. Look it up. It's very entertaining. You got these idiots in races, and they're getting close to the finish line, and they're all like celebrating right before the finish line, you know, and they're going, that's right, I'm going to win. And then somebody comes from behind and right at the tape passes the fools, because they're celebrating too early. These guys come down around the corner on their racing bicycles. And you know how these Tour de France guys do. They come around the corner and they put their hands up while they coast to the finish line. And these fools are doing this, and six people pass them. Oh, what happened? Oh, I think I lost the waist. Yeah, you lost the waist because you celebrated too soon. You're trying to turn in your performance before your performance is finished. Don't turn in your performance, because your performance is not yet finished. God has more things He wants to do. And besides, we don't know the hour. We don't. Yeah, I'm going to give you more from this from the sevens in Daniel. Then I'm going to give you all the years. It's so cool that God, again, why give all the dates from Adam? Why give all the years that people lived? Why give the reigns of the kings? I'm going to go through this with you, all the reigns of the kings of Israel, because all you got to do is add the numbers. All you need is a calculator, and you can figure out the days and thus the years from Adam. It's so great. It's so cool. And it really aligns with the three periods of seven given to Daniel. And why wouldn't it? Because the three periods of seven given to Daniel mark the time of his first coming. And the years from Adam mark the time of his second coming. I would say it's perfect.